Eternal life. Awesome, right? That's why we're here, eternal life. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why he rose again, to have victory over death and to give us eternal life. We're all on board for eternal life. We love eternal life. We are pro-eternal life. But some of us, I would say a lot of us, maybe all of us, are waiting for eternal life. That's something that comes after I die. That I live my life here, and then when it's done, then hopefully, if I'm close enough with God, I get to experience eternal life. We've been correcting a misconception we've had in this past series about eternal life. That's not just something about after I die, like, you know, I get to go to heaven. But instead, Jesus, in John 17, revealed something to us about eternal life. When he's praying to the Father, he says, this is eternal life, that they, us, may know you, God the Father, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. Eternal life isn't just some experience that I get to go to heaven, therefore my life does not end, it goes on forever. Eternal life is about knowing God. Eternal life is bigger than just going to sit in clouds and after, you know, I get to experience beyond the here and now. Eternal life is knowing God. Like, being able to experience God and know him personally, individually, have a relationship with him, with this relational being, I get to know God. Now, of course, that comes to fruition. I experience that fully in heaven when I, my glorified self, stand sin-free before the God of this universe. I know him, I'm able to know him in a full way. But it's not just a heaven thing, it's a now thing, that we get to know God. And the reason this is important, as we've been talking about in this series, is typically we think knowing God, my relationship with God, is a means to the real goal, and the real goal is eternal life, getting to heaven. So I work on my relationship with God so that I can grow in my, so I can know him better, so hopefully I get to go to heaven and experience eternal life. What I'm saying, or what we're saying in this series, is that knowing God isn't a means to some other goal, it is the goal. Now, this is what this is all about, is about knowing God. All this, the reason Jesus came and died on the cross for us, the reason we've been redeemed and saved is so that we can know God. That is the end goal. That's the point of all this. And so we've been going through this series about knowing God, where we've been identifying, talking about different practices we can do in our own lives to better know God. These, they're referred to as spiritual disciplines, activities we can take part in where we can position ourselves in a place to know God better. And we're talking about how to incorporate these into our lives, to practice them, to use them so that we can grow in our relationship with God. And each week we've had a homework assignment, and we go home, we do the assignment. Who fasted this last week? Okay, a handful, good. Okay, no praise for men, right? We already talked about that. Okay, we're not going to praise them. We do that for God alone. It's crazy, huh? Fasting, isn't it crazy how when you're fasting, how your body like demands your attention every once in a while? It's just like, you listen to me now. And our bodies are so bratty and bossy. And anyway, so it was an encouraging time fasting, doing a fast this past week. And I hope you had a good time with that too. So each week we're doing these spiritual disciplines. We talked about fasting one week. We've talked about prayer, having intentional times, talking with God. We've talked about solitude, getting away from everything else and closing out all these worldly inputs. We've talked about Bible study, sitting down and studying the Word as a discipline. All these with the goal of knowing God more. Now, all of these things we've talked about, these different disciplines, have all had one thing in common. They all have included stopping from our regular activities, putting everything else on hold, closing that off, getting away, and doing this thing. Having this intentional time where I'm going to do this discipline, and then I finish this discipline, and then I go back to my activities. Right? That's what there's been so far. This morning, we're going to do something a little different. This morning's discipline we're going to be talking about isn't just where it's more than that. And here's what I'm getting at. Our foundational truth this morning. This is your first fill in the blanks. If you'd like to fill in blanks, this is our beginning of that. Our foundational truth this morning is this: that we know God not just by breaking from the realities of life to experience him, but by experiencing him throughout the realities of life. But by experiencing him throughout the realities of life. It's not just about taking a break from things and I get to experience him and then I close that out and then I go back to life and it's just me and on my own. That we get to know him not just by those breaks from life, but as I walk through life as I experience him through life. That's how we get to know him, experiencing him throughout the realities of life. You guys get that? Experiencing him throughout the realities of life. So those times set apart are critical. The times where we take a break from life and give him dedicated attention, those are critical. They're vital in our walk. But that's not it. There's actually more to it than that. There's meant to be more. Look at the verse I have in your bulletin there. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Look what it says about what's expected of us in our walk with God. It says, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now take your pen and underline always. Underline continually. Underline all circumstances. You notice the continuousness of that? That our time with God isn't meant to be this short time, and then I end my time with God, and then I go, and then I'm on my own. Instead, there's this continuity, this continuousness that the Bible refers to, that we're supposed to be joyful always. We're supposed to pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, all the time. And I see that pray continually, and you might be thinking, well, how can I do that? What about when I'm driving? I can't drive with my eyes closed. I can't eat dinner kneeling, right? How do I pray when I'm doing that? How can I, you know, and because it's talking about a different level of prayer. We talked about individual or setting aside time for prayer, right, where we have this specific time where I'm going to focus on praying to God. But this is talking about something else, about praying continually. About maintaining that connection with God, continually talking with God. And so it's a different level, this continuousness. So we're talking today not just about those spiritual high points where I take a break from the world, I do this spiritual discipline, and I experience God, and then I end that discipline, I go back to the world, and I sure hope that experience carries me to the next one because I feel like I have this time with God, it's impactful, it moves me, I experience God, it's awesome, but then I end it, and then I'm just kind of on my own. And I'm getting through the muck of life until I get a chance to do that again. And then I have this other time with God. And so that's typically our experience. We have these spiritual high points divided by periods of dryness. But Jesus said when he in John 15, when he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know what the branch's job is? Remain on the vine. Remain. That we're supposed to remain that connection, that experience with God. So it's not just about I experience him, then I stop, and I go live my life, and I hope that carries me through until I get to experience him again. Again, it's talking about this remaining, this continuity, this continuousness of experiencing God in this continuing our experience with him. So why is our life characterized by this dryness, these dry seasons? I mean, why is it that I can feel so close to God at one point, but yet so far from God at another? Like, why is that even possible? Because we know God is everywhere, right? It's not like I left God, right? That we know God is in all places. God is even in Lancaster, right? That God is in all points. That he is in all. If anybody's listening on the podcast, that wasn't a knock on Lancaster. We had a prayer request about someone not experiencing God in Lancaster. So if anybody, we have people that listen to those, and I would hate for them to think, what do they have against Lancaster? In Psalm 139:7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? We know God is everywhere, that he is everywhere. It's not like he lives in this building and is like, Sunday, I'm going to go to God's house to spend time at God's house so I can hang out with him. No, you are God's house. That you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Wherever you go, there God is. All right? You cannot be far from God because God is with you. Yet, we feel far from God. Our experience is far from God. Now, why? How can that be when sometimes I can feel so close to God, but then other times I feel so far from God? And the reason for that is because we forget. We forget about the truth of his presence with us. So that's our problem. The problem we got to deal with is we have undisciplined minds. Our problem this morning, the problem of this that we're dealing with is our lives are undisciplined. Why? Because our minds are undisciplined. Why are our lives undisciplined? Why are we profess faith in this one thing, but then we do all kinds of other things? Why is it that we know what we believe, but yet our actions don't always back that up? Why is it that, you know, I say I trust God, but then I go straight to stress and worry and doubt? Why do I know that God's way is best, but then when it comes to obedience, man, I want to do my way? Why is our life so up and down and so undisciplined? Because our minds are undisciplined. Our minds are undisciplined. We forget the truth that God is with us, that he is right there with me. He is right there with us. Instead of having our minds dwell on that truth of God's presence, instead our minds goes to all these different inputs, all these different ways of the world to start feeding into us. You may come to church on Sunday and say, oh my gosh, that was so awesome, so powerful. I experienced God. And then we go home and it's like, oh, I'm going to just walk in this. This is so great. And okay, oh, this is awesome. And, oh, wait, Walking Dead's on. And then we want to watch TV, right? And our brain just, and we watch that. Or you may start off your day with this wonderful time with God. You're reading his word and praying in the morning. And you're like, this is awesome. I experienced God. And me and God are like this. And God is right here with me. And then you get in your car and then you get on the 405. And you're like, argh! And everyone you see, right? And all the input, you know, thinking like the world. You may experience God in a Bible study, and you share this experience with each other, and you're praying together, and you experience God, and it's powerful, and God is right there with me, and I experience him in this one-on-one way, and it's so awesome because his presence is with me. Then we get home, we jump on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.com, and then we just start plugging in to these thoughts of the world. And we live in a world that tells us that you're on your own. Our world tells us how to live without God, right? Our world instructs us how to live without God. The world we live in tells us the solution to your problems are found without God, meaning you got to figure them out. And we begin to think that way, so our minds go, when we got a problem, we go straight to stress, worry, try to figure it out. The world tells us that pleasure is found outside of God. And so, therefore, our minds, buying into that, are always chasing off after pleasure, after what's going to be enjoyable, right? Whether TV or internet or movies or whatever, our mind runs off to what's enjoyable because the world tells us that pleasure is found outside of God. The world tells us that achievement or that fulfillment is found outside of God. That who I am, my personal satisfaction is found outside of God. And then our mind runs off to our career, how I can plot out my career so I can gain all these things, so I can have fulfillment. Or how this relationship that I desire so much can be fulfilling and be what brings satisfaction in my life. All these things the world is telling us, all these inputs we have are telling us, you're on your own for these things. And you're not walking with God. You got to figure this stuff out on your own. The reason our lives are all over the place and undisciplined is because we bought into the lie that you're on your own. We forgot the truth. God is with you. He is right there with you. We got to wrap our minds around these things. We got to discipline our minds on that truth. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. How about that for a timeless truth? This was written 2,000 years ago. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that transformation? The world is conforming us to its pattern. Where does transformation come? By the renewing of the mind. By what we put our mind on. The problem of the reason our lives are so conformed with everything else, because our minds are undisciplined. They run off after the same thing as all the other people. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying TV's bad, internet's bad, and all that's, you need to just live in a closet. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm just saying it's fine to have those things, but we got to keep our mind disciplined in the midst of them, of the true reality that, hey, God is with me, that I'm not on my own in this, that God is with me. Because what we think about, it matters. A lot of us think, whatever's going on in here is fine, as long as I can control what comes out of here, out of my arms and legs and feet, you know, whatever I do, as long as it doesn't come out in actions, I can think whatever I want. I can think all the bad thoughts I want about that person as long as I don't go and tell them off, right? Because that would be a problem. I didn't point at you. That was a general thing. I realized I pointed at one person. That wasn't what I meant to do. But it does matter what we think. Whether it comes out of our actions or not, it does matter what we think. What you set your mind on matters. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. Talking about fixing our mind. So the challenge this morning that we're going to be talking about is how to fix the mind. Our minds are broken. They need to get fixed, and they're going to get fixed by fixing them on God and God's presence. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, all right? So what's the answer? Here's the answer. to fix your mind on the wonderful reality of God's presence with you. Fix your mind on the wonderful reality of God's presence with you. Because the truth is, God is with you. We don't need to invite his presence to us. We don't need to seek him out. He is with you. But again, we get distracted from that truth. But wrapping our minds around that truth that God is with you, that changes everything. Imagine with me if Jesus Christ appeared in bodily form and spent Monday with you. Just went to wherever you go Monday. He hung out with you in physical form Monday. If Jesus made an appointment, hey, I want you to show me around Long Beach. I want to see what your life looks like. Would he get a good picture of what your life actually looks like? You would have a special day Monday, wouldn't you? If you're showing Jesus around, your internet habits would be different. Your TV habits would be different. The things you do would be different because Jesus is with you. You wouldn't have the same obedience issues that you have. I'm sure of it. And the reason I know this is when the pastor comes around, you act different. So imagine what it's like when Jesus is there with you, okay? You're going to act different. You're going to speak to people different if Jesus is right there with you, right? You're going to speak to people different. You're going to respond different when people disrespect you. You're going to handle it better, all right? You're not going to have the same fear issues if Jesus is with you. If Jesus says, hey, I want you to go talk to that person or stand up for me in this thing, you'd be like, dang right I'm going to. He's right here. Are you kidding me, King of Kings? Come on, let's do this together. You'd be happy to do it, right? You want to have the same faith issues that you have. You want to be worried or stressing about the future because Jesus is right there. If he's calling you to do something, you do it. You want to have the same prayer issues. You would talk to him more if he was right there. Would it even be prayer? Because you would just be talking to him. It'd be so different. Well, maybe it shouldn't be different. Maybe that's what prayer should be, is if Jesus was right there with you, we're just talking with him. Our lives would be so much different if Jesus came in bodily form and walked along with you throughout the day. Well, you know what? Jesus is spending the day with you tomorrow. He's going to be there with you tomorrow. He's with you right now, and he's going to be with her today and tomorrow and the next day. He is with you. That truth matters. It changes things when we understand and wrap our minds around that truth that God is with me. Those times that we break away from the world and do these spiritual disciplines, you know why they're so special? Because we plug into that truth. Oh my gosh, God is with me. I experience him. He's right here, and I get to experience God. Those are special times. They're awesome. And then we forget because we end that time and go back to the world, and we got to go to work on Monday. And then it all just goes, and we forget about it until we have another one of those times again because we forget our minds are undisciplined, and we need to remember the truth that he, God, is with us. So we need to fix our minds by fixing them on the presence of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Look at this verse. This is Paul writing to the church. They're having issues dealing with people in the world and all that, their context. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2,000 years ago, they recognized that the world is set up against the knowledge of God. And that hasn't changed. The world's just got better at it. And it's got more entertaining, and we've got more inputs. The world we live in is set up to be arguments against the knowledge of God. It's every pretension set up against the knowledge of God. It's trying to prevent you from really knowing God, which is all about. So what do we have to do then? Take every thought captive. We got to control our mind, discipline our mind. Everything comes to our mind. Take it captive and submit it to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. That's the goal, that at all times our mind would be, that we would take all those thoughts captive. We would be able to discipline our minds to be able to focus on the truth of God and his presence with us. So this means disciplining the mind. Not just on those times set apart. Because we know that takes discipline to set a time out to focus on prayer, or set a time out to focus on Bible study, or to fast takes discipline, or to get in solitude takes discipline. All right, so we know those take discipline, and because we're fixing our mind on Christ during those times. My challenge for you this morning, our discipline we're talking about today, is keeping our mind on Christ, maintaining that. It's referred to in circles as practicing the presence of God. acknowledging God is with me right now. Not just when I sit down and open my Bible, but when I stand up and wash the dishes. God is with me. When I am picking up from the kids from school, God is with me. When I go to the post office and the person in front of me is taking way too long, God is there with me. At all times, fixing our minds on that truth. This is something I've been trying to do this past season of life. It's really hard because we're so easily distracted, but it's also very easy because it just takes a moment to flip it back. But mainly, it's so rewarding. Being able to experience God in a different way by practicing his presence. Now, I still screw up. I still snap at my wife or get upset with the kids, or I still I'll respond poorly at times. But then I quickly acknowledge, wait, I forgot God is with me, and I need to repent and give back. Okay, remind myself God is right there with me. Practicing the presence of God. Trying to shorten up those times between acknowledging him. Because if we acknowledge him in our Bible study, and then maybe we don't do it for a whole next day till the next day, or all that day until the next morning, we open our Bible and say, I forgot God was with me. I screwed up all day yesterday. But shortening up those times from when I acknowledge him. And of course, I acknowledge him. I remember he's there, and I praise him for whatever. Thank you for the trees. Thank you for whatever. Pray about whatever's going on right now. This continuous, maintaining a continuous conversation with God. Things happen. I get distracted. We move on to something else, and then I forget. And then all of a sudden, I recall to mind, oh, yeah, God's with me. Sorry about that, God. I forgot. I was doing my own thing, and I'm back. Being able to maintain that with God, whether you're watching TV, in the bathroom, going to work, at all times, fixing our mind on that truth that God is with us. And the reason this is so important is the truth. Like I was saying, the truth of his presence in our life, that his presence, that he's there with us, it changes everything. Check out, open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we're going to see this together. Psalm 23. This is probably the most famous passage in the Bible. Definitely top five. It's on the Mount Rushmore of Bible passages, something like that. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We're actually going to just take three verses, verses 4, 5, and 6, from Psalm 23. This is David talking. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, what an awesome passage. We love that passage. That is, it's a famous passage. It's something we all hold dear to us. You know what makes it so awesome? The reason for all those truths about, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, my cup overflows, surely I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All those great things. You know the reason for them? For you are with me. That's the one for. That's the cause, and the effect is everything else. Because you are with me. David understood that God is with me. He is right here with me. He fixed his mind on that truth, and because of that, he experiences the wonderfulness of Psalm 23 is experienced because through the reality of the awareness of God's presence with us. And so we see a few things from this. First, we see that it brings comfort through hard times. That's our first one, comfort through hard times. When it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. His presence changed things. Now, it doesn't say, I did not have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because you are with me. It doesn't say that. But it says, even through the valley of the shadow of death, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, because you are with me, you prepare a table before me because I have no enemies. No, it says, in the presence of my enemies. So there's still enemies. They're still walking through the valley of the shadow of death. There's still hardship. There's still trial. There's still difficulty. It's not saying all going to be great. There's still difficulty. But yet in the midst of that, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We're going to be okay, you and me, because you're going to be with me because of you. It's going to be okay. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though we're going through this hard time, even this dark season, I fear no evil because my God is with me. And that changes everything. He says, in the presence of my enemies, you prepare a table before me. Man, in that culture, sitting and having a meal together, that was like intimacy at its most. And he says to God, with all my enemies around, you and me were having tacos. It's awesome. Having a meal together, sharing intimacy, because you are with me. It's all good. So it doesn't mean you're going to get that job. It doesn't mean you're going to win that ticket's going to hit. You know, get a lottery ticket. It doesn't mean that all the health concerns are going to go away. It doesn't mean everything's going to be good with your boss. It doesn't mean that marriage is all of a sudden simple. It doesn't mean all those things. But it means in the midst of those difficulties, I'll fear no evil because God is with me. That matters, right? The only thing that changed is he was aware of the presence of God. Okay, second thing. So first, we experienced the comfort through hard times. Second, the fullness of life. The fullness of life. He says, my cup overflows. Let me read it out here. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. So that idea of my cup overflows, you guys understand that picture. Like if your life is a cup, God is blessing you. God's anointing is on you. That's a sign of blessing. And he says, man, my cup is overflowing. It's just going all more than I can hold on to. It's just splashing on everyone around me. Just this big overflowing blessing cup. It's awesome. And you may think, awesome, that's great. I want that kind of blessing because I don't want to go through any dark valleys and I don't want to have enemies. And I want, remember, we still have enemies. There's still enemies. There's still valley of the shadow of death. But yet he says, man, my cup overflows. You've anointed my head with oil. It's a fullness of life. The thing we're all chasing after on all different routes. Everybody walking in the streets are chasing after the same thing, right? It's the presence of God that brings it. Overflowing cup, the fullness of life. And not just now, but going forward. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. He's not saying, woo, YOLO, grab it right now. Things are good. You know, I need to just grab some happiness because who knows about tomorrow. No, he says, no, surely goodness and love follow me all the days of my life. Cup overflowing now, and I know it's good for the rest on out. So comfort, fullness of life now and moving forward. And then finally, a picture of heaven. A picture of heaven. It says, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And, so talking about after all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Being able to experience the presence of God in this way that David's talking about, this way that we're talking about this morning, gives us a taste of heaven. Because in heaven, you're going to stand before the God of this universe. You get to experience him fully. Now we get a taste of it. We get to experience it, little bits of it. But as we do, as we're aware of his presence, as aware of his continuous presence in our life, it provides a taste of what we're going to experience in heaven for eternity. All right, so as we wrap up, let me conclude with this. We need to be continually reminded of God's presence, right? So we know that that is a truth, that God is present, he is here, but yet we are so easily distracted. Our minds run off to the next thing. We're distracted onto whatever on TV or whatever just beeped on my phone or whatever, you know, whatever. We're just always distracted because we're easily distracted. We're like small children and shiny things going all around us. So we need to be reminded of God's presence with us. Well, I've got two things this morning. We're going to do two things that are going to remind us of God's presence. First, Jesus, in his grace and mercy, knew early on how distractible we are and how distractible we're always going to be. So he gave us a reminder. On the night that he's betrayed, he looked at his disciples. He broke bread. He says, this is my body broken for you. Then he poured some wine in a cup and sent it around. He says, this is my blood shed for you. Whenever you do this, take this in remembrance of me. He says, I know you guys are going to forget, so I want you to remember me through this activity, through the taking of the bread and the wine, through communion, and remembering of what Christ did for us. So that reminds us of the work he did on the cross that gives us that relationship with him. So he's always with us. It's the reminder that he is in me. His spirit is in me. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. His spirit lives inside of me. So we're going to take communion today. So in a moment, we're going to worship team's going to come forward and lead us a song, and you're going to come forward. I'm going to invite you to come forward and take a cracker representing his body broken for you, a cup representing his blood shed for you, and then take and eat in remembrance of him. And so we're going to do that in just a moment. But there's also a second thing that we're going to do. You may be thinking, okay, that's great, Tom. That's cool. I'm going to walk out of here remembering God's presence with me. I'm going to be reminded of that. But then what about when I get home? And then Monday comes next. And then there's Tuesday, Wednesday. I know me. I'm going to forget again. Okay, so here's your second thing. You got a homework assignment. Every week we have a homework assignment to a joy, something to practice the presence, practice the discipline that we were talking about that week. So this week we're going to practice the discipline of God, or discipline, practice the presence of God, and this is how we're going to do it. As you come forward to take communion, grab a bracelet. Okay. Yeah. There's different colors up here. Here's your homework assignment. Wear a physical reminder of God's presence with you this week. So put a bracelet on your wrist and wear that bracelet on your wrist this week. And every time you see that bracelet, remember, wait, God's with me right now. And it's a physical reminder. Whenever you see that thing, it reminds you that God is with you. Whether you're on the 405 freeway, whether you're at work, whether you're doing the dishes, whether you're getting out of the shower, whatever you're doing, whether you're going to bed, just whenever you glance and you catch sight of that bracelet, it's a reminder that God is with you. And at that moment, you could just acknowledge him. Ah, thanks for being with me, God. Sorry about how I handled that thing earlier. Or if there's a stress on your mind, just pray for it right then. This is a way to pray continually, to experience him fully, walk in the practicing the presence of God. It's just a silly bracelet, but wear it as a reminder of that God is with you. Israel walked around with a silly box, right? They carried this box ahead of them everywhere they went. Why? Because it was a physical reminder that God is with them. All right, it's just a bracelet. So I challenge you this week, wear a bracelet all week, and no one's even going to notice it. Or if they do, you may have to tell someone why you're wearing it. Is that okay? But it's just a way to be reminded of the truth of God's presence with you. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward now. We're going to take communion. Let me a couple words on communion. This is something for believers in Jesus Christ. If you're still checking out all this Christianity thing, you're not really sure where you stand with Christ and all that, I ask you to sit out communion today. And the reason for that, the Bible makes it real clear that this is only for believers. Everybody's going to be doing it individually, so you won't stand out as different. Like, we're not all going to drink together or take together. So you can come and do it. Whoever comes to do it, you just come and do it on your own. But if you're not there spiritually with Christ, and you just, he's not my Lord, he's not my Savior, I'm just checking this thing out, totally cool. But I just ask you to sit communion out. Just sit out this one thing. And if you want today, to take your first communion, to trust Christ in your life, today's a great day to do it. Today's a perfect day to say, yeah, God, I want to be, you are with me, and I do want to submit my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come take communion. So we do ask that, but if you're not there, just to sit out communion. Okay, with that, I'm going to say a quick word of prayer, and then I'll turn things over to the worship team, and you can feel free to come forward as you feel led. Let's pray. God, thank you that we are not on our own. Thank you that you are always with us. And God, we confess that could be really bad news that you're always with us. But instead, because of what you did for us on the cross, it's great news. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your commitment to us. And God, we ask that you would help us as we leave this place to remember your presence with us, to walk in that truth and experience that personally, your presence with us today and going forward. In Jesus' name, amen.